Gold. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the snow. Tell your body okay. Walk it hard and low. When you finish that.
The Hypnoga.
Go down. Go down. Go down.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag and you're sitting on them like you're 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup, and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got my corner sofa off them, and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Font Hill, Belgard, and now Omni Park, open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Font Hill and Omni.
One stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now. Visit www.roystyle.ie and use promo code GET10 for 10% off.
Episode 233 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud and proudly supported by Right Style Furniture. It's me, CLB.
It's me, Tardy Flower.
And today we're joined by
Al Foran. Alexander Foran, actually. We had this conversation beforehand. Nobody knows the full name.
Alexander.
Yeah. Shouldn't he say Alberto?
I've been called Alberto, Alfred, Alan. My mother hates Alan. Hates it. I don't like when they call you that now. It's generalised. Alexander, we put a lot of effort into that name.
Sorry, my mother. So why don't they just call you Alex? Alex is
I was Alex.
Short.
Do you know what? It was Alexander, obviously, from a very young age, of course. Then I got to school, it kind of shortened to Alex. And then secondary school, it was Al.
That's
and
mad.
Then, and then that was it.
And then Al just stuck.
Al just stuck.
Well, here we are. Anyway, Al, this is years in the waiting.
Yeah. Terry said the other day, he goes, how not Al Foran on?
Swear to God,
do you know
I
what?
I said it to me board. I was like, yeah, Al Foran. She was like, again? I was like, no, for the first time.
For some reason, it feels like, we had you on a live show.
Yeah, and I'm very proud of that because that was the first ever live Talking Bollocks show.
Yeah.
And I was a part of that. So it's great to be here in the studio, which is because it's a badge of honour. I'm always showing off to people saying, well, I was a part of the first live show in Liberty Hall, were you? You know what I mean? So it was great and it was brilliant crack that night, you know?
That was a great little night, actually.
It was fun, yeah, that was good crack.
We always say that was one of our favourite shows.
It was, well, the first one's always great, you know what I mean? It's always, I suppose there's obviously nerves behind any kind of show that you do like that. And then obviously you get used to it and you do bigger shows. Obviously you've had Vicar Street, the Board Gosh. I'm sure there's a place down the docks, you know, that'll be next, you know what I mean?
Sure look.
But it's the beauty of the first show is always wonderful, you know. And I remember my first show when I was 18. I will get into that, but that was in the Portmarnock Sports and Leisure Centre.
We're in can't say a fancy new studio. This is Dave Moore's studio.
Dave Moore runs this place. Look, there's guitars in the corner. This is Dave.
I think
there's
a pair of Jordans over there or something. But they're putting a new floor under the building or something. What are they doing? They're renovating the whole place. What were we talking about? I feel like we were talking about something and then we started the podcast.
We were ranting about football and everything else, isn't it? But we don't want to go too deep into fucking football in this episode. But Al, I was saying to you, you've had a couple of football podcasts.
Yeah.
Is that a route you want to get on eventually again?
Yeah, eventually. I think you look at my Twitter and all it is football tweets.
Yeah.
Or me, you know, getting excited about a new bleeding game or movie. That's all I'll tweet about on Twitter. Now, football, it is like, it's tense on Twitter when you're tweeting. You know, if you say the wrong thing, someone will come in and correct you. People are very, very, what's the word for it? They're just a bit tetchy on Twitter when it comes to football tweets.
Yeah.
But I get the most engagement from it, and I have the last couple of years. Anytime I talk about United, you know, it gets tweets. And I think that was one of the reasons why I had a podcast here, and I loved it. It was the United Way with Damian Broderick. And Darren approached me, and he approached me solely on the basis of my tweets. He said that your tweets, they get great numbers for Man United. He said, we'd love to set up a podcast. And we had that podcast. It was the best fun ever. I loved it. Bar the season being absolutely shite. Now, we won the FA Cup at the end of the year. That was okay. But I really did enjoy it. We actually developed a core kind of listenership as well, which was something that I was very surprised about. You know, listen, it's not the gargantuan, huge listenership that you guys had, but we had something there. And when I finished up that podcast, I did feel a bit sad kind of finding out about that, because I got a ton of messages on, you know, Instagram, Twitter, when's the podcast coming back? So it is definitely something I'm looking at trying to get back into. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I love Man United, you know, as you know. I love
Unfortunately,
football.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's been terrible the last few years. But I suppose, as we mentioned before the podcast, people do love, you know, forms of media that are created by, you know, fans of football clubs that, you know, when things are in the shitter, people enjoy that more so than, you know, when things are good.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So obviously, you're just a football fan. That's where the idea of a football podcast came from.
Yeah.
But that's not like what you started your career doing. No. You've a long career and doing many fucking things, Al.
Many things, yeah. Well, yeah, the many things, the many voices and characters over the years. I mean, I'm sure, like, you've had Mario on, you've had Connor Moore on, have you?
We haven't had Mario, we've had Connor.
Yeah.
Well, like, the first thing Connor or Mario will tell you is that they started impersonating family members. And that's what I did. It was family members. It was aunties. It was uncles. You know, I would do a gig at every bleeding family do, whether it be a christening, you know, a wedding, anything like that, birthday parties. I would always get up and impersonate my uncles. And it got to a point where, you know, it was me mom, my dad. I think when I was younger, my parents were arguing and my dad converted the attic. That was his office. And my mom was downstairs in the kitchen. And I remember I was so upset as a young kid that they were fighting that I went to the landing. I called down to the kitchen, "Chair, chair." And I called up to the attic as my mom, "Charlie, Charlie." And the two of them met in the landing. "What do you want? You called me." "No, you called me." I said, "I swear you called me. I could hear you from the attic." But the two of them ended up, you know, making up on the spot there, which was nice, you know. So it's stuff like that started it. And then I probably watched too many movies and too much sports. I was really well tuned. But I, like you see, a lot of my impressions are actors.
Yeah.
So that's where that came from. A lot of, like, I just love film. I studied film in college and everything, you know, and that was where that kind of came from.
Did you ever get in trouble doing impressions growing up?
No, not really. I got away with it. We actually, in sixth year, when Jedward were like the big thing back then, they were like bubblegum. This was 2010. I remember the school chaplain went along with us. Sister Jair was her name. She used to have this thing every morning called Thought of the Day, where she'd say a lovely prayer and she'd play a very popular song. Now, usually every Friday it was The Cure Friday, I'm in Love. But this was a little different. She was in on it with the principal and everything. So I could do a Jedward impression at the time. And I remember I was putting out videos on YouTube that went viral in Portmarnock. That was how I got my first gig. But the school had seen it and they saw the Jedward impression. And that was the big one at the time. And I remember she said, would you do that? You know, would you pretend that Jedward are in the school? I said, well, yeah, we could try it. She goes, well, listen, I'll do the prayer. I'll play the song. And then I'll say that we have a special guest here. So we have a special guest. John and Edward have come to the school to wish everyone all the best, the 6 years and the 3rd years and their junior cert and their leaving cert. So I got on the intercom. Yeah, just want to wish everyone in Portmarnock Community School. This is John and Edward. We're so happy to be here. Just wishing you all the best in your leaving cert. Oh my God, it's amazing. But don't let the stress get to you. You know, just study. Get, you know, get stuck into your books. Oh my God, wow, amazing. First class is over and I swear to God an army of girls running up to the front office thinking John and Edward were there. But we went, they didn't know it was me until they seen the videos after, obviously. But, like, you know, it was funny, good times, stuff like that in school. And the fact that the school went along with it was a bit of crack.
Yeah,
because I did brilliant. The odd teacher impression as well.
Yeah,
you know,
that can be a bit touch and go though.
Yeah, I think, well, they didn't mind. They didn't mind too much.
So I've seen that happen in school before, you know, teachers and someone grew up and they take the piss and it's grand. Yeah. They're doing the rounds.
Yeah.
And then one teacher won't like it and it's like, right, now stop that. Yeah. And it's because you're a teacher, you're like, right, you kind of have to do something. You can't argue with them, you know. You're like,
yeah.
So it's...
Take us back to the start, Al. Where are you from? What was life like growing up for you?
Most of my childhood was, I lived in Portmarnock. I lived in Ashburn and Swords for a few years. My mom, my brother's from Swords. But it was mainly, most of my childhood, I lived in Portmarnock. And, you know, from a young age, I was doing impressions of the likes of Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. Like, my brother showed me Goodfellas at a very young age. But regards to like the entertainment aspect of what I do, it's kind of in the family because my brother was an actor. My brother was in War of the Buttons. He was in Into the West. He was in a few kind of, you know, famous Irish films in the early 90s and late 80s. So my inspiration kind of came from him. Stuart is his name. And I remember visiting the film sets. I think Gabriel Byrne hailed me when I was a little baby, you know, on the set of Into the West. Oliver Twist, he was in as well with Elijah Wood. He was one of the kids in that. And Richard Dreyfuss was on set for that. So, yeah, from like a young age, film and kind of media was a big thing in my family due to my brother, you know, acting in movies.
And did you want to be an actor? Is that what your early dreams were? Or?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, definitely. After I finished up school, kind of, I still look at the impressions as a vehicle towards that. Luckily, I've got a few roles over the last couple of years. But yeah, initially, like that was kind of the aim.
Yeah.
You know, but from an early age, like, yeah, I kind of did the impressions, I did the accents, and I learned it from him because he did it as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Essentially they're one and the same, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're just
pretending
to be someone else.
Exactly, alongside the family impressions. So yeah. Well, I liked entertaining people.
And what did you say you studied in college?
Film.
So you tried to keep the train moving, basically, yeah?
Yeah, I did. Now, to be honest with you, you know, you finish up, you get your degree in film, you're not exactly going to, you know, here you go.
Yeah.
You're going to direct the next James Bond film. It's not like that. It's about who you know in that industry. But definitely, I developed a lot of skills in that course, you know, over the years with, you know, all of the impressions that I've been doing. I was more of a kind of, I liked the on-hand kind of part of it. I liked kind of being involved in the field aspect of it as opposed to the desk aspect, not the editing part. I didn't enjoy that, although I've come to enjoy that the last few years in editing my videos. I liked kind of directing. That was one thing I liked doing. I liked working with actors. So yeah, it was kind of more so that aspect of it that I enjoyed more so than the technical aspect of film, you know?
Yeah, I was asking about, did you want to be an actor when you were a kid? Not just because of your brother, but because surely when you were young and you were doing impressions, you probably realised you were good at them and other people probably realised you were good at them, but surely you didn't understand that there was a market there, or did you?
Oh, I did because I looked at the likes of, you know, Après-Match.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Richard, Gary Cook and Barry Murphy on Après-Match, Mario, Oliver Callan, those were the guys that I looked up to. Right. And Frank Caliendo over in the US, who, if you look up him, he's one of the best impressionists of all time. But there was no way of doing that because social media, we were just on the cusp of kind of social media becoming a bigger thing. So this was around 2011, 2012. So I remember sending in fucking discs, you know, blank DVDs of my impressions to the likes of here, your RTE, all that, but nothing came of it. And then Facebook, a lot of people started posting videos on Facebook, and then I created the Al Foran comedy page, and I started posting the videos from there on, and then people started seeing it, you know.
Yeah.
So that was the vehicle for me.
So you understood there was a market. So when I was thinking about
it, 2014, I understood, there's something there that I can kind of platform this on, you know.
How young were you when you realised you were good at doing impressions?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I view it as an ability. So if you look at the first videos that I did in 2010, it was in a mate scuff, right? So they all went to Tamango's the night before. And this mate of mine, who was a big Liverpool fan, he had a free gaff for like 3 months. So everyone went to his gaff every Friday night. So I think they were all up from the night before, and I was being a goody two shoes, and I decided, no, listen, I'm gonna have, keep my voice strong for tomorrow morning, but you'll all be there, you know. I didn't know they'd all be fecking up all night, but they were. So I arrived and set up the fecking camera. We did the videos. We did Alan from The Hangover. We did Mourinho. We did Alex Ferguson, Jedward, different actors. And as I said, it went viral in Portmarnock and Malahide, but it got me my first gig in the PSLC, the Martello room. Would you know that room? It was called the Live Room. A lot of the big comedians performed there in the the early tens. Yeah. So likes of Jason Byrne, Tommy Tiernan, and Eric Lawler performed. I actually met Eric Lawler one of the nights. I met him 2 weeks before I did that gig. He was a support for Jason Byrne. So I remember that was the first time I met Eric Lawler. But I remember I did the gig and 20 minutes of it was material. And I think there was an extra 60 minutes added on, and that was all improv. I just went from there. It was improv. I was just...
Did you say 60?
Yeah. 60 minutes. I just kept it going. I don't know how. I wouldn't be able to do it now. I wouldn't have had that energy. I don't have that energy now. But yeah, 60 minutes. Taking the mick out of different people in Port Marnock. Just doing impressions of them. And
were you doing local impressions? Like?
Local impressions. Into me doing local impressions.
Yeah. How old did you say you were? Your first show?
18.
Fucking hell. Mm. So you're literally a kid.
I was a kid.
Yeah. And did you think right?
Should have been focusing on me leaving, cert.
Cash in hand.
You're getting cash in hand. It's making sense, isn't it? And from there now, you're like, you know what? There's a few quid in this.
There was, but it was a long time before I kind of got, I sunk my teeth back into it. You know, I did my course after that. I did a J1 in Chicago. I remember in Chicago, Jesus, that was something else. Fucking, we were 8 days homeless in Chicago. And that's a normal thing on the J1.
Yeah,
you go on it. Everyone goes there.
Same with me, yeah. BYOB, bring your own blow up beds.
That was it.
Yeah.
And luckily there was mates there who were older than us. They were there for whatever, a year visa. They had us staying in their apartment. But some nights, like we stayed in a closed bank and everything. And I remember on the streets outside Dan O'Donnell's hardware shop, this was a fella, Irish American, that helped out all the J1 students with accommodation. And there was like a massive queue outside his shop to go in and see, you know, if he could improve our situation. And I remember waiting there and it was 35 degrees fucking Celsius. It's hot in the summers in Chicago, really hot. And I remember I put down my suitcase. I started doing Eddie Murphy for everyone on the street. You know, please, please, please give us somewhere to stay. You know what I mean? We got nowhere to stay. We little Irish people. We can't do that. You know what I mean? We got our suitcases everywhere. So I was just having a crack with that. But yeah, like I did gigs over in Chicago and everything.
Since then. Jeez, that's a full circle moment, isn't it?
Yeah. They're in bars now, small bars.
Doesn't matter.
I can say I gigged over in the States. Yeah,
full circle, isn't it?
Yeah.
I text you to come on here, and the first thing I said was, what part of the world are you in? Because we've been back and forth over the last few months, and anytime I'm in contact with you, you're in a different city.
Yeah.
And what's the story there, Al? It's just how are you going from these like small shows in Port Marnock to Saudi Arabia?
I think obviously this is Oosh TV now. So what we're doing with Oosh TV is we've become a combat sports media channel where traveling the world essentially, and we're going to all of the biggest combat sports events on the planet. So yeah, like we were in Saudi for the Fury Usyk 2 fight in December, and we got credentials, we covered it for the week. Like it's full on now. It's great work. I love the graft. You know, we covered Ben Eubank too. We were in the stadium when the big monitor showed the reveal of Chris Eubank Senior, you know, arriving to the stadium, being there by his son's side. Like, unbelievable.
It's iconic, yeah.
Iconic moment. Yeah. Proper WWE-esque moment. We've covered the Usyk Dubois fight, the Katie Taylor fight in New York. That was absolutely incredible. So, yeah, I've been in the boxing world for a long time. And I came up with an idea, you know, through my contacts there and, you know, doing the shows with Tyson Fury. I developed a lot of contacts in boxing through Matchroom and Queensbury. And I just came up with an idea where, you know, let's develop a media channel. Let's be like the likes of IFL and Stomping Ground. And, you know, I'll put my own spin on it. I'll do the impressions, but I'll also be myself. I'll be a proper journalist.
Yeah.
And that's very hard, by the way, lads. It took me a long time over the last couple of years. Doing the podcasts here helped as well to actually be Al Foran, because I was so deep into my characters on camera and in podcasts that I actually found it difficult.
Yeah.
So I still do. I fucking go into Trump sometimes, you know, and I said, snap out of it, you know. So I've developed these skills in, you know, interviewing and I have to say, like the likes of yourselves, you are the one of the inspirations as well. I listen to your podcast and how you guys interview your guests. Do you know what I mean? It's stuff like that. You know, I'm learning from the best around. You know, the likes of Charlie Parsons, Colin McGuigan on IFL TV, Matt Lenihan on Boxing Social. I learn from them, you know. So it's been a fun ride so far. We've got a really busy few weeks ahead of us. You know, we've got Mick Conlon's fight this week. And that's where our main sponsor for that show. And then the following week is Crocker Donovan, which is a huge fight.
Huge.
Huge fight.
For a world title now as well.
For a world title now. So, yeah. I mean, we're blessed to be covering those events. Yeah. And I love it. Listen, the grind is, it's tough. You know, I have two young kids as well.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that's another tough side. Like, listen, I love my kids. So well. But and it does, it pays the bills. And I'm blessed. It's the best, being busy is the best complaint.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. But you're not just doing, you're not just covering boxing as well. You're up leading wrestling events and everything.
Well, I've pushed for that.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
I pushed for that.
Yeah.
You know, I know you've had Jordan and Fergal on the podcast.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But yeah, no, I'm a big fan. I've been a big fan since I was a kid. A lot of people grew out of it. A lot of people, I didn't. I still love it.
When we realised they weren't hitting them with the chair, we kind of snapped out of it. They were like, oh, I'm not having that. We're for real.
And they actually stopped hitting them over the head with the chair as well for years.
Yeah.
As well, due to like concussions and all that, they stopped.
Oh, so they did.
They only hit them in the back now, yeah. With the chair shots are only to the back.
Right.
And to the body.
You're not allowed to do pile drivers anymore either.
Pile drivers are gone, yeah.
Can't do anything anymore
it's
these
gone.
Days.
Whoa,
yeah,
it's
gone. It's game's gone.
You can't even break that neck.
They're kind of, because they've got the big Netflix deal, they're kind of coming round to it. There's a few things that are, like there's blood. Blood's come back. Like blood was gone for 15 years.
Was it?
Yeah. Blood was gone for, you know, the blade job where they'd get to take it out of
their
sweatbands and they'd fucking
they'd cut themselves.
Oh, what?
No, do you not know any of this? No,
that's what they do. The cameras would be off them after they take like a
or the referee give them a
give
them a little blade, you just slice it off your head, and then once someone hits that, that's what's gonna explode, covered in blood, then tiny little nick on your forehead.
Fuck
and think
off.
how thin the skin is on your forehead as well. So it's just going to open one smack.
Why didn't they just get like a little tiny bag of fake blood or something?
They tried that. They did that method before as well. But I think the blading just looked more.
And it heals quick. It's effective. Only a small cut.
Yeah, but still.
You know what I mean? But yeah, but think about how effective that is. You're walking around covered in blood. You're like, geez, he's had to be in through a war.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Of a predetermined event.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So it just added to it.
But yeah, we covered the first ever televised event.
Yeah,
the
down the point there last
week. Yeah,
yeah.
And we
that was mad.
It was great. The Vox Pops we got were brilliant with the fans. They enjoyed it. And yeah, it's something that we definitely want to look at.
And they do media for that. Because they do press conferences now, don't they?
They do, but it's only for the pay-per-views. It's only for the big shows. Like on a Saturday, Sunday night, they wouldn't do it for a weekly televised show. So they do the press conference at the end of that. So
yeah, have you ever seen it?
No.
Did John Cena come out and he sat at the table in front of all the press and answer all the questions?
And they're out of character. They're out of character at the end of the show.
Is that not a killer for the wrestling fans?
This is a debate that's going on now. Some people are for it and some people are against it, because Netflix have a documentary. What's it called? Unreal. Where they bring it behind the scenes and they're like, right, Terrence, develop a script there that John Cena is going to fight The Rock and John Cena is going to win the belt at WrestleMania and you have to go through that. And they're like, why are they showing us that? We didn't want to know that. We just want to see them fighting. We don't want to see you writing the scripts.
But especially as a kid, look, because I think a lot of people as kids look up to them and think that it is blading magic or whatever.
Massively,
and then they find out he comes out and he's all timid. And
in the 80s as well, it was a huge thing. You know, it was keeping
the kayfabe,
protected the kayfabe.
Yeah.
It was protecting the business, you know. And if I think there was an incident with a fella, a wrestler, and his name was David Schultz. And there was a journalist that was kind of haggling him a little
bit. Yeah, I've seen the clip of this.
And he's going at him. He's saying, yeah, but it's not this, it's not that. And he grabs him.
And he clatters him.
He clatters him.
Yeah, was that not real?
Was that not real? He clatters him.
And your man is you. They're like juiced up the bits, a little tiny fella. He's like, it's not real. He clatters him. He goes, was that not real? And your man is shitting then.
Good scald.
Oh, it's deadly.
Come manners on you fast, Al. A good clatter never hurt anyone.
No,
I always say it.
Absolutely not.
What I was saying there, Al, is because you was a then to cover that as media.
Yeah, that's what we did. We got our media credentials. And I have to thank Fergal, David, Finn Balor, because he's been a good friend of mine for years. And I remember I went to WrestleMania in New Orleans. That was his first WrestleMania. He fucking brought us backstage, lads. He brought me and my mate backstage. Like, we couldn't. We were like, what is this? You know, we should be sitting down for the entirety of the show. We're not allowed back here. We saw Undertaker. We saw John Cena. We saw all of them at catering. After their matches or even before their matches, they were all just amongst each other, just having the chats, having coffees, eating. It was mental.
Finn, he's a terrible nice fella, isn't he?
Such a nice fella.
The two boys are fucking sound.
Jordan's a lovely fella too.
We constantly bring them up. Yeah. We have this like...
No, but fair play to you, because they don't get enough recognition.
I say
back
the same.
They're having them on.
They'd walk down Grafton Street and people wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
4 million followers on Instagram.
And a million.
But they're more popular in the US, aren't they?
Yeah.
They would be like. But... we have this little fake list of like the soundest people that we've ever had in the podcast.
It's not fake.
No, it's definitely real. But I mean, it's not actually wrote down.
Yeah.
We need to write it down.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, Finn's top, but he's a wanker.
We've a new number one every week, But then we always say, them boys were so sound that like anything that we needed.
They had a show. Like, they had to leave. Remember, and they were like, oh, it's grand. Evening, and I was like, do you want me to drop you around? They're like, no, it's grand. We'll get a lift. I was like, yous have to go, lads. And they're like, no, we'll be all right. And then they're like, just want to hold the belts and all. And they're like, yous are legends.
I sat there with the belt on me for the whole episode.
Fucking weigh them belts.
I seen it, it was class. Yeah. The way they're heavy, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're very heavy.
Yeah.
Ali, you were saying you've been in the boxing world for a long time. I remember we also mentioned the Air Force Live show. You were a guest on it.
Mm.
You told us a story about being with the Furies on a plane.
Yeah.
Will you tell us that story, please? Tell us how it all came about, actually.
It was my fault. I jumped forward to like how to get to Saudi Arabia. How were you hanging around with the Furies?
Because I did shows for Tyson's management company, Goldstar.
So they picked up on you.
Shows with Kell Brook, Chris Eubank, Mayweather. So they knew who I was. They knew kind of the format of my set. So they had me involved in Tyson's homecoming show after he beat Wilder in the third fight. This was December 2021. And I think we were coming out of COVID at that time. And it was Christmas and there was a bit of a buzz. Mm. A bit of a buzz. You know, we were at the end of kind of the pandemic period a little bit. And, you know, people could attend shows. So they put together 8 massive shows across the UK. And the night before we got on that plane, it was the show in London, and I think the Dillian White fight had been announced. Dillian White had come up as the number one contender to fight Fury in April, and the following day we had to get to Glasgow. So London to Glasgow, it's not the most ideal. You're talking 6 to 7 hour drive. So the best solution was, well, let's hire a plane. Let's hire a private jet. Now, I'm a big fella, right? But the Furies and Tyson's bodyguards, that's another fucking story, right? So we're on the plane and we get, first of all, John was against it completely. He said to Spencer, Tyson's manager, me and you, Spence, we'll drive up. Fuck that, I'm not getting on that. I don't want to get on that. So we'd be like Buddy Holly, we'd be like dust on the ground. I couldn't stop laughing. I was thinking, oh no, it'd be grand, because I get a lot of flights back and forth to the UK, and I wasn't too nervous, but John and Spencer were very nervous. Spencer was very nervous, but he didn't show it. He just kept laughing. We got on the plane and we're bunched in, and Tyson's over there. Tyson was very relaxed. I don't know, he might have been nervous, he just didn't show it, but it wasn't the biggest of planes. It was what he said to Spence. He goes, you cheap bastard, it's a fucking tin pot. You got 6 of the biggest men in this fucking jet. Spence is just behind, oh, I'm sorry, Tyce. You know, he's sitting where the baggage is. That's where he is, because he just can't. And we're handed these lovely gourmet sandwiches and just about to take off, and John, I'm sitting here, John's in front of me. And I'm telling John, it'll be okay, John. You'll be fine. I'm telling you, no. No, this isn't good. I've got a bad feeling about this. And lo and behold, we're taking off. And John grabs the big fucking platter of sandwiches. Grabs them like that. Oh, fucking hell, I can't handle this. We're taking off. I can't handle this, no. He's screaming his fucking... And then eventually, to take off. We're smooth in the air. Everything's all right. But it takes John a while to kind of settle down. And it was like Tyson was holding him as well. I hope this doesn't get to the Fury. But Tyson was. He was like, it's okay, Dad. It's all right. And then, we're up in the air and the laughter. We just cannot stop laughing. It's just constant laughter. Up until the show in Glasgow, it was honestly one of the funniest experiences ever. From John, from the air hostess trying to get John onto the private jet. No, I'm not having it. Get me a car. You
know? He's a big angry man, isn't he, as well?
You'd see the clip. You'll see John laughing, right? But at the start, he's very serious. But as soon as we're in the air, he's in stitches. You know, but it's a side to John Fury that not many people have seen. Yeah. You know, and it was just it's the funniest experience of my life.
Yeah.
I talked to Tyson's manager, Spencer, about it. And it's one of the funniest moments of his life as well. It was just hilarious, you know. And we're big men. Like me, John Fury, Tyson Fury, Tyson's bodyguard, Brendan, one of Tyson's other managers, James Ward, who's a big fella. You're talking, there's a lot of weight on that plane, you know. I didn't realise. I was thinking, we'd be grand. And then when I seen they were nervous on the plane, I was like, but then I kind of,
because you can't stand up on them private planes, can't you?
No, you can't. They're tiny.
Tiny
they were, but it was
a mad experience.
A mad experience.
Yeah.
You know?
That Buddy Holly moment of Lane Cracker.
Oh, Buddy Holly. Dust on
the ground. Poor Buddy Holly, yeah. Is that a bit surreal for you, Al? You're literally going around, you are essentially a Fury. You know what I mean? You're hanging around with them, going up and down the UK.
Training with them. I was training with them. I didn't go on the 5K runs now. I'm not the best at running, but I'd meet them in the gym after and I'd be training with them, doing the feckin' saunas and everything like that as well. It was very much, there was a massive aspect of family in that week that we were with them. You know, there was me, Brian, the MC as well. It's a team. It's a team effort. And the format of the show is perfect because you have me on first, then you have John, then you have an auction, and then Tyson is the main event. And it just worked at every single city that we went to. You know, and I think I've done about maybe, I think close to 20 of those shows with the Furies.
Jeez.
Yeah. It just works. It was a brilliant show. Good times, you know.
You have some phone book, don't you, when you think about it?
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, because it's okay. Remember a couple of years ago, we tried to get Helwani on. Yeah. And we went through Al, and Al was texting him directly. And remember, you were screenshotting the messages, and he's texting you back instantly.
Yeah.
It's not any chance. It's where are you now? And he's like, I'm here. And you're like, will you do this? And he's like, this is my schedule. And I was like, no, he's back and forth with him.
He's a good lad.
How do you know him so well?
He's had me on
his podcast a lot of times.
Yeah, I've just followed me. I've been chatting to him for years. I've met him at a couple of events. I met him at WrestleMania as well. He's a good lad, Ariel. He is. Nice fella. You know,
who's the most famous person in your phone book now, Al?
I'd say it's Tyson Fury. Yeah, is Tyson Fury. Yeah,
who comes second then?
Oh God, there's a few there. It's Joe Duffy. I was involved in that final show.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So that was, and Joe's been great to me throughout the years. He's been really good to me in RTE, and I did that in 2015. That's when I started, October 2015, every Funny Friday. And eventually I'd bring my mum along to the shows every month, you know. So it was great crack.
Yeah, isn't it?
Got to get Joe in here, lads.
Yeah.
There's an iron in the fire.
We're on it.
There's an iron in the fire.
All right.
Al, what is your job title now with Oosh? what is it that you do?
I'd be the presenter. I have the editorial power as well over, what goes up on Oosh TV. But yeah, I'd be the main presenter, interviewer. But Callie-Anne Brennan has come along as well, and she is my co-presenter. And she does a lot of the social media stuff behind the scenes as well. And she's absolutely brilliant. Callie-Anne is on 2FM and she's also on the Tri Channel. And she's been a fantastic addition. She does the stuff that kind of the overload and social media stuff, you know, she's constantly documenting everything, which is something that I'm terrible at, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, so she's really, really good at that. And she does, she also is an on-screen presenter and she does quick fire rounds with like different boxers and all that. So she's brilliant.
And is that something, the presenter part and the interviewing part, is that something you've learned to fall in love with, or did you have an idea that that was somewhere you wanted to go?
I've learned to fall in love with it. I've learned to fall in love with it. You know, it was something, it was definitely something that I didn't envision myself doing maybe a year or two ago. But now I love it because it's very, there's a lot of pressure. It's on the spot. You got to think about what you're going to say to the subject, to the boxer, to the promoter, you know. A lot of what I say, it is like improvised, the questions.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to think on your feet.
And especially how they react to something. If they react poorly to something, you're like, fuck, I have to try and salvage this
now.
Yeah,
you got to salvage it. Well, I have a little trick there. Sometimes I pull out the big guns and do a few impressions at the end.
Yeah, and just hope for the best.
Every time, you've had him on the podcast, but every time we get Eddie Hearn on camera, it's just gold.
It's gold.
Yeah. He's just got the best answers. He's a brilliant interviewee, you know.
And he loves an impression himself.
He loves it. He's brilliant at impressions. He's very good. He does a great Eubank.
Yeah, he's brilliant at doing Eubank.
Yeah.
He's a big character, isn't he, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big character.
He's clever.
Yeah.
You can say. I remember as we had Eddie on, obviously, and we were announcing a second night in the National Stadium for our live show.
Yeah.
And after Calvin pulled him and he just said, we're going to announce our next night in the National Stadium tomorrow. Any chance you can do a video like promoting that for us? Like, on the spot, like, he had no plans for this. Calvin put the camera on him and he did this like 40 second spiel on why you should get tickets to the Talking Bollocks live show, and it was gold. It just shocked me.
Yeah. And he doesn't even know us, and he's like, if these two chancers can do another night, and I was like, how does he know that?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's amazing though, and he can do that on the spot.
Yeah.
Because I seen him, he Colin McGuigan of IFL TV asked him, just into camera, just tell us why we should watch Ben versus Eubank Jr.
And he's just gone.
So I thought, I said it to Colin, I said, you don't mind, I'm going to do it for the Aaron McKenna and Liam Smith fight, just because he's one of our own. And like that, on the spot, just completely fucking sold it to the Irish audience.
It's crazy, isn't it? How you can do that. But not just,
he's
not just saying more to say it, he's really capturing you.
Yeah.
You're going, I can't miss this fight. The two of them are playing 3 and 13.
Yeah.
They can't win a fight to save their life, and I'm going, I can't wait. Yeah. This is the main event.
You're paying for just that fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Like, Eubank Ben's the main event.
You know, he's so fucking good on the spot. So in this journey now that you're on, Al, obviously you've learned to fall in love with it. Is there a ceiling, like, is there plans for the going for? Is there goals, or are you just like, I'm just going with the flow and enjoying it?
Yeah, there is. I wanted to go beyond combat sports. I want to cover entertainment. I want to cover movies.
You want to be on the red carpet, like?
100%. I wanted to get to a point where, you know, we can get exclusives with, for example, a Tom Cruise before, you know, the new Top Gun or the new Mission Impossible. Because when it comes to movies, obviously I've studied it in college. I'd be a lot more kind of versed in that than I know my boxing. I would,
yeah, of course.
You know, I wouldn't, you know, hopefully it comes across that I do, but I've been watching boxing for a long time, and I know you're a purist, I know, like, and I hope I'm doing an all right job. Sometimes I think, feck, I missed out that part, but yeah, I want it to grow into something bigger, which is why I'm looking at WWE and entertainment. We're looking at that as well, and that's something that, you know, the Yush guys are kind of, you know, they wanted to see it, but it'll be a long way down the line.
Yeah.
You know, we're comfortable in the combat sports section now at the moment. You know, it's easily accessible. The people are very nice. The likes of Matchroom, dealing with them, dealing with Queensbury, they're easy to deal with.
Yeah.
You know,
we've dealt with the lads behind the scenes of Matchroom, and they're fucking sound.
They are so sound.
Like, you could text them directly and they're bang on.
Is it Matty you dealt with?
No, Dan.
Dan's a gent as well.
100%.
Like, they're just really good lads, you know.
You're a big United supporter. You've done an impression of Gary Neville to his face.
Oh yeah, I think, yeah, was it Gary? Yeah.
And it didn't go down well.
In 2018, with the class of 92.
And he wasn't
having it. He was okay about it, Gary. He wasn't too bad. I had the chance to do Keane to his face, but I was too scared.
Did you bottle it?
Do you know what? I did the.
You can't say I was overlap. Too scared and then say I didn't bottle it.
Oh, yeah. You can say I bottled. Remember, right? I did. That was a mad night, by the way, because I did the overlap in the Tree Arena, which was a huge. That was
amazing.
And I'd know Carragher more so than the other two. And I was chatting to Jamie, and Gary kind of knew me, but I met Keane for the first time. And I just couldn't believe how, like, jovial he was. He was just very, he's not, you'd think he'd be, you know, sitting in the corner like that, you know, eyeing you up. I'm thinking, who's this fella? Yeah, but he wasn't like that whatsoever. He was great. And I remember I couldn't stay for the entire show. I had to do my bit. And I had to go and do a gig with the FAI that night, because the story behind it was I was a last minute replacement for the show in Dublin. Connor Sketches was originally doing it, and Connor did Manchester. So Connor was in touch with me and said, listen, he said, are you able? I said, yeah, absolutely. He had laryngitis, so his voice was gone. So I'm very thankful, Connor, for that, because it was a massive thing for me. But I did the gig on 3 hours notice.
Fuck.
Yeah, I did it on 3 hours. It was the 23rd of March, 2023.
3 hours notice?
Yeah.
Just as well you weren't busy.
Well, I had to do that gig for the Ireland football team. It was a few days out from the French game in March 2023. We played them at home. I think we lost 1-0. So I had to do it. I managed to fit it all in one night. I did the overlap because I was obviously on before the lads, and I had to leave. And then I went and did the gig for the Ireland team. But I remember, like, this is mental. Like, what?
So Alex,
I woke up that morning, you know, brought my daughter to school, expecting, oh, I've got a busy night tonight, this gig for the Irish team. And then around 3:15, 3 o'clock, I get an email. Are you available tonight? From someone from the overlap. And then I got a phone call. They got my number somehow. And I picked up the phone and they said, look, would you be available? It's just a last minute thing. I said, yeah, but I've got a gig later on tonight. I said, can I see if I can fit it in? It's the Tree Arena. So I put down the phone and I got in touch with the FAI, managed to sort that out. So there we go. We're sorted. And then organised every, like, you know, got a nice outfit and all, you know, scrambled, ran back home. It was just manic. Put a script together, arrived at the Tree Arena, and I'm sitting there with fucking Roy Keane, Gary Neville, and Jamie Carragher. And I remember Roy Keane, I said, I'd love to stay. I said, but I have a gig. I'm doing a bit with the Irish team, the FAI. And I remember Roy Keane saying, oh yeah, fair play to you. They're probably paying you loads, aren't they? Up the ice, up to heaven. But I remember going on stage 15 minutes and I feel that I did a good job.
I
heard people said it was brilliant. And I remember coming off stage and I was very emotional because that was just
surreal.
And you know, when opportunities arise like that, you just got to take them.
That's bucket list stuff, that, though.
It was,
you know,
for me it's one of the proudest moments of my career so far. That I managed to do that. And I text Connor, I was so thankful. I said, you know, and he did the next shows as well, you know. So it was a big moment. It was.
What's your biggest pinch me moment, though? Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a show.
Well, it would be a show because of the people who were in the room. But the gig I did the night before, the Fury and Ngannou fight in Saudi in October 2023. So Mike Tyson was in the room, Manny Pacquiao, Fury, Ngannou, Usyk.
Was Ronaldo there?
Ronaldo.
Figo. Wait, what? Sorry. Yeah. What is this?
This was a gala ball before the Fury and Ngannou exhibition fight in October. And, oh, sorry, I forgot to mention. So when I do my gig, sometimes I'm on stage with an MC and I give the MC a script. So I give them like a script of the characters and the questions attached, and then I go from there. They just kind of read the questions or they can phrase it in their own way. And the MC on the night was Michael Buffer. So I'm doing the gig with Michael Buffer.
Sorry,
and by the way, lads, one of my worst gigs ever.
Yeah, literally.
I got fuck all reaction, but I don't care because the people who are in the room, do you know who loved it? Antonio Tarver.
They literally just playing superstar bingo.
When it's watched you in Saudi, man, I couldn't believe it. You know, man, it's good that it's in New York. I've seen him again. It's so good to see you, man.
It's literally just saying, right, think of the most famous sports star, you know. Right, he's in the room.
So Ronaldo, Figo, Brazilian Ronaldo too. Fury, Usyk, Mike Tyson, Manny Pacquiao, Adesanya, Amir Khan, Sugar Ray Leonard, and then the cream of the crop, the biggest one in the corner. And he was sitting, someone told me he was sitting there while I was doing my gig, Eminem was in the room. Eminem was there that night. I think he might have did a performance. I don't know where he was invited, but Eminem was there.
Did he? I think he did. I think he opened the show.
He did a performance on the night of the boxing. Yeah,
I think so. I think he was just a special guest on the night, but this was the night before and Eminem was there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So tell me what you're feeling like then.
Oh, shitting it.
Yeah.
I've never been so... I've terrified. Well, you have to be. Like, if you don't... Listen, if you don't have nerves before a gig, there's something wrong with you. I know I had this chat with you before the first show in 2022. Yeah. And I hope you still have nerves, by the way. That's not a good...
It hasn't got easier yet.
But that's fine. And keep it that way. Yeah. I spoke to Mick Conlon. We did an interview and for his comeback fight in Brighton. He said, like... I didn't feel nervous. And then I panicked. That's what, because if you don't feel any nerves before, whether it's a fight, a show, anything, there's something seriously wrong there. So nerves are good. Mm. The best possible thing, you know, even before a podcast, you feel a bit of nerves.
But there's difference between nerves and doing a gig in Paul Marnock, right? I'm walking out to Ronaldo and Eminem, like, all the Ronaldos, actually. All the good Ronaldos.
That's the Ronaldo
left. Yeah. I got a picture with Brazilian Ronaldo. It was one of my first games was the 4-3. It's actually my first ever game at Old Trafford was the 4-3
in
Old Trafford where he scored the hat-trick.
And you got an ovation.
Yeah.
You got the ovation,
you got a standing ovation. Yeah.
Sorry, did you say that it was a shy gig?
Oh, shite. No reaction. but here's the thing, right? When you're doing a gig, you just got to soldier through. You have to do the whole gig until the very end. Do not stop. And that's what I did. I didn't stop. And as I said, the likes of Antonio Tarver, the Furies were laughing. I think a few others were laughing. But so many people were mingling and mixing amongst each other. There was big names in there. There was big egos.
Yeah, of course.
They were all talking to each other.
Yeah.
Adesanya, actually, I met him after and he said, that was brilliant. I loved it, you know. But I just felt, shite, but I didn't care. I did not care. Yeah. I thought, oh my God, I have gigged in a room full of these massive names. Like, this is something I can tell me grandkids, me great grandkids, you know? So it was,
It makes sense as well what you're saying with everyone mingling. And what are you going to really do? Well, like, tell Ronaldo and blame Eminem to stop talking. Lads, can you stop him doing a gig?
Bit of respect, please.
Do you know what I mean?
Imagine one of them start heckling you. What are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's the dream.
You're showing you like, you're a fool.
You should have stopped.
Garrett A. Davies coming up to me. You know what? They were all mingling. You know what? I paid attention to the whole game. You were brilliant. Brilliant.
Jim in a nutshell. Jim in a nutshell, I swear to God. So obviously the interviewing is now, that's your main gig now, isn't it, Al?
It would be my main gig. I'm still doing gigs as well. That's, you know, that's the core part of my job. I don't get much time to do it, but I love posting my own organic content, my own stuff. I mean, I did a video there a few months ago. This is the thing, my posting's very sporadic because I'm proper kind of focused on this Oosh TV thing, but I put up my first ever video with my iPhone. I had a Samsung for years, by the way, and I changed to iPhone and I've never gone back again. My dad hates it. My dad's an Android head.
Yeah.
Oh, you've joined a cult. As he said,
I agree.
That's Calvin.
You've joined a cult. Yeah. But my first video, and I think it got like 2 million views. But do you know who I got a follow from? Oh, sorry, I know I'm talking about.
You're supposed to.
Yeah,
this is what we're here for.
Penelope Cruz.
Grew up with that.
Penelope Cruz followed me. Followed you. Do you know when you can see now if they followed you after watching your video?
Yeah, followed from your reel.
So I was delighted with that. But stuff like that, like my own kind of original content, I love doing the auditions. I don't know if you see the audition videos that I do. It's like, what if these actors auditioned for this particular role? You know, I've done a James Bond one, I've done a Batman one. I have a whole list of iconic cinematic roles that I'm looking to do over the next few months as well. And I just love that part of it. You know what I mean? I love posting content like that, even though it is sporadic and I don't post it too often, and I'm trying to find a way to post it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's funny as well. It's the stuff that's not planned, that you don't kind of have planned out in your head, that does well too.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you could just put up a random video and it gets millions of views. It's still the case with social media.
Yeah.
Especially on TikTok and Instagram, you know.
It sounds like you have a plan though. See that what you were saying there, what if this actor auditioned for this role?
Mm.
That could be like an ongoing series, even if there is in between bleeding two of the biggest fights. One is in April, one is in September.
That's it, yeah.
And if in your spare time you throw up the odd one, at least people will know, oh, he always does this. Can't wait for this one. You know what I mean? They're expecting it. Like.
And the only playing background part of the house is my daughter's bedroom. And then the rest of it is all fucking pink and everything. But there's that one part of the bedroom. I'm like, brilliant, yes. Nobody can see anything behind me. No dolls. No fucking Sophia stuff here.
Yeah. No, that's what I was going to say. Like, are they just on the back burner now and you're focused on this? But you obviously have plans to juggle a few things.
I do. Listen, I love doing the impressions. You know, it's got me to where I am, and it's a fun thing. And you know, the fact that I can, you know, put smiles on some people's faces is a good thing. You know, it's something that I'm very grateful for.
Mm.
You know, I talk about it as well. I look at it as an ability. You know, you have to, I'm constantly, you know, refining the impressions. I'm working on new ones. You know, when I'm in my car, that's my practice.
Yeah.
Or people sing in the shower. I do impressions in the shower, you know. And here's an interesting thing. I don't know if I meant, I think I may have said it in the show a few years ago. But when you're doing an impression, you learn the voice, right? But you think there'll be a step-by-step process in learning that voice. Okay, right. I've got the voice down. Now I have to get the mannerisms. I have to look like the person.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, that doesn't come with it. Once you learn the voice, you actually automatically develop the mannerisms of the character you're impersonating. So like, with Trump.
I feel like no one does a Trump impression without moving the hands. Like, well, you know what I mean?
Well, it's very important. You got to move the hands.
Everyone does it.
You know, you got to do the little neck tilts as well. That's very important too. Because if you're not doing that, there's something wrong. You know, it's great. I love this podcast, by the way. You know, it's a great podcast. You know, two great guys, you know. I love, the name is great, but sometimes I think, you know, they talk the opposite of bollocks. They talk sense, you know. That's what I wonder, you know.
You remember you sent me dad a voice message pretending to be Trump?
Yeah.
You sent me the message and I forwarded it on to me dad.
Yeah.
And it's him being Trump. Because me dad said that you and him had a chat after the first live show.
Yes.
Your car was stuck in the car park.
Oh, yeah, it was stuck in the bleeding. Yeah.
You said he was going to drop you back to Bettystown. You wouldn't take a lift off him. And you're right, because he is a stranger. You shouldn't do that. But,
he's a gent, though.
I remember sending that to him then. He was like, who the fuck is that? How did you get that? And all of us. That's Al. You know what I mean? Because he just got the voice message on WhatsApp.
Yeah, well, we stung a fella on the Tyson Fury tour as well. Actually, in Glasgow, there was a maid of Spencer's who. I've got Donald on the phone. He's, because this was obviously Biden was president at that point, so nobody knew where Trump was. Trump could be anywhere, you know. So this fella, poor fella from Glasgow, I got on the phone. I said, I think Henry was his name. Henry, we're doing Tyson shows, the champ, and we look forward to seeing you in Glasgow. You know, I'll be there. Can't wait to meet you. Oh, I'll tell you something. I can't wait to meet you. I'll tell you. It's an honor speaking to you on the phone. A great honor. This poor fella, we fucking made the phone call the day before and he was actually expecting to meet Donald Trump in Glasgow.
No. Who's your favourite person?
To impersonate.
To do impression. I was saying, do you say impersonate? Or is that the
right word? Who's your favourite person ever?
Yeah, impression.
And it had to be me.
I mean, a new one excites me greatly. Like when I have nailed a brand new impression, I'm delighted. And that becomes like the flavour of the month. But when you're talking like the one that gets the best reception, whether it be live or online, like the Eddie Murphy goes down a treat live, Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
People just demand Joe Pesci. They just love the Joe Pesci. You know, and they love it. You know what I mean? Because hey, you're scrunching up your shoulder, you're talking like that. You know what I mean? It's fucking great. You know, everybody loves Donald Pesci. What are you laughing at, Ed? I didn't tell you to laugh. What the fuck? And then De Niro sometimes as well, but that's the one that's.
See, his eyes go. Like, yeah, it's mad. That's the way your
eyes. But then when you're doing Pacino, the eyes are very wide open. You know, when you're talking like that, you know, hoo-ha.
But there's niche ones I enjoy as well. Like, I love doing Woody Harrelson. You know, when you're doing Woody Harrelson, it's very like that. You know, it's quite relaxed. You know, a little bit smooth. It's great. You know.
Has anyone? I know we kind of touched on the Gary Neville one. Has anyone ever got an impression of themselves and not had a part of it?
Well, it wasn't the actual person, but it was the co-star of the movie. I remember when I was doing a bit of work for Joe.ie years ago, I was covering the red carpet for Daddy's Home with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. And Will Ferrell was first on the red carpet. And I did, hey, Will, I did my Mark Wahlberg impression for him. Hey, Will, how you doing? It's such a funny co-star, you know what I mean? You make me laugh in between takes. It's incredible. Thank you so much, Will. You know, I did all that. And he just stared at me like this and went, that's probably the worst Mark Wahlberg impersonation I've ever heard in my life. And turned and walked the other way.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that was a toughie.
That's a wank got me off, though.
That was probably about 6-7 years ago. That's at the haunt me now.
It was 10 years ago.
That, and it's still haunt me now.
Yeah. I still find his movies funny. You know, I think he was a bit grumpy. I think he did a lot of press. But anyway, full circle moment. 2 years later, the Daddy's Home 2 premiere. So the first one was at the Savoy. The second one was up in the Odeon in the Point. And I wasn't on the red carpet at that time. I was just invited to the premiere to watch it. I brought my then girlfriend at the Point, now my wife, Alison. And I remember in that Mel Gibson was in the second movie. And we seen Mel Gibson. And then after, obviously, Mark Wahlberg turned up. And my Alison screamed, Mark, my boyfriend does an amazing impression of you. And she caught his attention. Oh, really? All right, let's see it. So I walked over, he got his phone out and started recording me doing the impression.
And did he take it well?
Yeah, he took it well.
Brilliant.
So it was okay.
Okay, I didn't know where that was going.
That
was going to say, stay away from Daddy's Home.
He shared a few of my videos, Mark Wahlberg has.
Because that would have struck me as opposite. I would expect him to be the cranky one. You know, he's up at 4 a.m. every day and all.
He was the more approachable one.
Yeah, because Will's just this bleeding head case. And he's this regimental fella like.
Yeah. It's not going to turn me off Will Ferrell's classic
comedies.
Assured,
he's a prick. You taught me off him.
I have two more for you, Al, yeah?
Yeah.
So your dream event to cover.
Dream event.
It was come to you tomorrow and say, wherever you want that, we're making it happen. Name it.
Well, if I could have, there's two that come to mind. I mean, listen, if you get the Oscars, that's the main one. You get the red carpet at the Oscars, that's the most exclusive, that's the best event on the planet to be covering. I don't know if there's an impressionist called Matt Friend, who's amazing. He also does a very good Trump, but he covers the red carpet events for the likes of the Golden Globes and the Oscars. So something like that, yeah, that's the cream of the crop, 100%. With WrestleMania.
Yeah.
With proper exclusive.
Yeah. It's in Vegas again next year, isn't it?
It's in Vegas, yeah.
It was in Vegas this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again next year.
They were meant to have it in New Orleans, but some sort of logistics, so they have it in Vegas again. Right. But I've been to two of them. I've been to the one in New Orleans in 2018, where Fergal brought us backstage. It was surreal. And then I was in LA in 2023.
Right. So Vegas might be on the cards 25.
We hope so. Yeah, yeah. It's something. Listen, we've, you know, scratched the surface a little bit with WWE, and the reception was great. The fan footage was brilliant. So that's the beauty of doing WWE events. The fans are part of it as well. You know, you can get proper content out of the fans. They'll do the impressions. They'll be dressing up. They'll have their belts and everything like that. You know, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good
content. And then
you can have the superstars as well, the wrestlers themselves.
Yeah.
You know.
And then it's 3.5 years ago. Ah, Force Live Show, you were there.
Mm.
And you said you were going to do an impression of Terrence.
Oh.
And I know. I think you got stage fright.
I just knew you'd bring it up.
I didn't know this was coming.
I just knew you'd bring it up. I'm so. I've been trying.
Have you?
I've been trying.
You said that was the hardest or something.
Very hard.
Well, in fairness, Conor Moore bottle it as well. In the studio.
He said something about me pitches or something as well.
You're going to have to give me. I don't use, I just go into them, but I have to think now.
Oh, stop. You've had 3.5 years.
No, stop. It was terrible. It was bro. In fairness, it was fucking terrible on the night. Very bad job. Very bad job on that impression. And hang on, you're not getting away with it either.
Yes.
No. To be fair, Al, it was terrible. You did a terrible job of it.
That's not too bad. That's not bad.
Wasn't good enough, you know. Terrence thought you'd do a better job.
That's not bad.
Brilliant.
That's
that.
Not bad.
Well, I think it's a bit better now. Yours is a bit better, but yours I was working on. I thought, no, you gotta do both.
Do you know what was the best impression of Terrence ever?
Who?
Ever. You're never gonna guess. Darren Cleary.
Does him
to a T.
No.
To a T.
Darren, send me a voice note. Jesus.
Oh, it's unreal.
Teach and me the ways.
You know the best thing about it is when he does it to him, you just know, you're like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Darren is seeing me at my best and my worst. So yeah. He's seeing live show Terrence, show week Terrence, where I'm like frustrated and fuck this and fuck that. So he can do an impression of that. And then me, when I'm happy and excited, I'm like, bro, and whatever else.
Yeah.
So he just has me nailed in terms of mannerisms and all. It's hilarious.
And the suffer he comes out with, like, bro, I'm at the doing this, blah blah blah, and you're like, you know what, Terrence probably would do something
something
mad extravagant. It's gas.
Well, I think the videos he did with Thomas Carty and Terrence is the funniest stuff ever because it's just magic. Like, he just puts the phone in front of you and it's all
on the spot. The country just throws me into it.
He's just trying to do a live raid.
We
say it to the lads, you know, when we're doing a live raid for a sponsor, I was like, you should send this to the sponsor because you're not going to get any more better coverage than this. It takes us about an hour to read like two paragraphs. Like a paragraph each takes about an hour.
We're going line by line by line, and then the best part about it is all the times we fuck her up.
Yeah.
It is the best part though. Yeah.
It sells this better than that, this product. Yeah.
Blooper sell. Yeah. They 100% do.
You know what I mean? I'm just a big walking blooper, Al. There's no structure in anything.
I have to give a shout out, Al. Sorry, Terry. To Graham, who works in Seven Wonders down in the IFSC. He's a friend of yours.
Don't know his second name. Graham Smith. If it's Graham Smith, it's one of my childhood friends. Yeah, he's one of my best mates. Yeah.
Yeah, so it would be him. And I see him every week and I'm going to the opposite stop and then to get lunch. And we always chat.
And he wears glasses.
Yeah.
Graham Smith. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Graham's one of
He's always chatting about you, yeah.
Yeah, so, Graham's the man.
That's what we hounding you to get all on the last year.
No, we'd just be chatting and he'd be like, you see, like, again, it's similar conversations. Like, see, he's in fucking New York today. You're dating this fella. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Graham.
This is what I was saying, Terrence. You open Instagram, do you know where Al Foran's going
to
be?
Yeah,
you
get to head in everywhere. Yeah.
You could be in South Africa tomorrow, like. But,
Love home. I tell you, I love home. By the end of the fucking trim, like, get me home.
Yeah.
You know, I do because I love my family. I have a young family. And
yeah, very young.
I love the 2 and 6, you know, and on the way for you, Pat. You know, that's a man for yourselves, you know. And I'm telling you, you're in for the most beautiful moment of your life when that time does come. Because nothing compares to it. I remember someone telling me before my first was born, like, that there's nothing can compete with that moment. It's ethereal. Is that the word? Is that how you pronounce it?
I'm not sure, but it sounds like a walk, Sal.
Yeah.
I got a shiver when you said it. Yeah. So it must be the right word.
It's beautiful, and you're special.
Yeah. No, I can't wait, Al, yeah.
I don't know if you can. Can we talk about the trouble you had getting into New York?
Can we talk about this? Because I don't know what it is.
Yeah, of course we can.
What fight was it?
It was for Thomas's fight.
Yeah. In March?
March.
Al gets on. He's like, going off the cover of Thomas's fight, this stand. And I was like, yeah, class. Gets back on to me the next day. He's like, yeah, I never booked a visa. He thought he could just rock in for a minor round.
And now my Esther's gone forever.
But then he got it sorted.
I got it sorted. I've got the visa for America, but yeah.
Yeah, he had to get a walking visa. He thought he could just rock in and be like, what's the start? I'm here to cover the fight. And they're like,
I know.
I felt
awful for Thomas because he's one of the sponsored athletes for Oosh. And we'll get his next one. You know, I felt off what happened in the fight as well, you know.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But we'll get his next fight.
And when you're going over for the Taylor fight, you're like, right, can I get in there with the Trump impressions?
That's what I was thinking of, like, get in with the Trump impressions. But it was okay. We turned out all right, didn't we? You saw the Robert De Niro impression. I thought that guy, he insults me too much. So if he does him, there's a bit of a balance.
See how far his shoulders dropped forward and his hands go down? That's exactly how he sits in everything.
You know, one of my favourites, you should get Eamon Dunphy on as well, lads. Have you tried?
He'd be a great guest.
He wouldn't be a good guest. He'd be a great guest.
What was he, 80 a couple of weeks ago?
80 a few 80 weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago, fuck.
The great thing with him is you don't know what he'd come out with.
And he doesn't care.
You know, he's
a man with nothing to lose. He's no toys to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Not yet, true.
You know what I mean? So he could slay them all. And you're like, yeah, no problem. Yeah. Yeah. Walk away. Yeah,
just tell us the worst part of everyone you walked with. Yeah, just run that mucky
Wait, Al, have you got anything you need to plug? I don't have any events coming up.
No, no, we've got a lot of Oosh TV events. So listen, if we've got a massive week ahead with Mick Conlon, his first professional fight in Dublin. As many know, he forged his path in the amateurs in Dublin. So he's viewing this very much as a homecoming. So we'll be there all week covering the this massive fight week, Mick Conlon versus Jack Bateson at the Tree Arena. He's looking at it as it's the last chance saloon for him, you know, in getting to that world title.
Yeah.
So let's get behind him, and it'll be an amazing fight week. And then we've Crocker Donovan. And then from my own perspective, I want to work on a live show. I want to tour it in Ireland and the UK. I'll be getting the help of some decent comedians as well that will help me kind of structure the show.
Yeah.
So there's a committed, by the way, I don't know if you've had him on, Carl Spain.
No.
He's been mentioned.
We tried to get him on, yeah.
Oh, I mention him, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen him open for Kevin Bridges, unreal.
Guys, he's...
And someone tried to heckle Willa. Him. Yeah, he's someone tried to heckle him, and I was like, oh my
he's
God.
He's like the Limerick version of Willa, in the sense, like, it's just a laugh every minute.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? He's brilliant, but Carl... is a massive. He'll be helping me out with.
When we talking early next year,
early
late
next
this year?
Year, yeah, early next year. We're talking about it, yeah, 2026. Right. I definitely want to get the Al Forn live tour going again.
Right, and you can catch him all over Twitter at Impressionist Al.
Yes,
Al Forn, and then on Instagram.
You see,
everyone knows who you are, Al. That's the thing. Like,
you've
seen
those trying to plug you. Have a fuck's sake.
I don't know why I did that. Yeah, I don't know why I did that. Right, we all go, Terry.
Yeah, Al, thanks for coming in, pal. This has been years, and again, was shocked that you weren't on before. We thought we had you on. Obviously, the show made it feel like, and obviously, we know you so well. We've seen you so many times. I don't know. We were like, how the fuck is he not being on?
It's a privilege to be on, honestly. And I'm so proud of you. The monster you have developed here, the platform you developed. You know, it's a real honor being on a show like this. You know, and the last 5 years has just been unbelievable for you, and it's just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. You're two great lads.
Thanks very much.
You're two wonderful lads, and I'm so proud of the two of you.
Thank you. That's us for this week. Thanks to the legends at Roystyle Furniture Shop for the support.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roystyle has everything, and I mean everything. Sofa sorted, beds covered, dining table, 6 chairs, boom, all in one house package. Plus, the lads in the store are sound as well. And if you're more of an online shopper, that's no problem.
Whack in the code GET10 on roystyle.ie and take 10% off whatever you're buying. Free savings. What's not to love?
I'm telling you, don't sleep on this deal. Unless it's on one of the mattresses, in which case, fair play.
Right price, Roystyle, right now. Visit www.roystyle.ie and use promo code GET10 for 10% off.
Right, we finished?
Take us out.
Takes out it.
Boom.
Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Cut down.